Blog Talk Radio.
Well, hello, everyone, and welcome to your place. Tonight, we have titled our show, Living in a Real Relationship with God, Endure or Escape. Wild Bill has a question for you. If Jesus came back during this program, would you make it or be left behind? I pray that you make up your mind based not on anything you have been told by a church preacher or teacher as your only source, but based on having a real biblical relationship with Jesus. Just like the group recorded at the new birth of the New Testament. If that's not you, somebody has told you that the original birth was only for then and not for now. Ask them to show you in the Bible where it ended. They can't do that because it's clear that the dispensation that started then is a dispensation that we are now in. Nothing is recorded about a different dispensation before his return. Living for God is not about a church social group, but about a real powerful relationship with Jesus. We've been bringing you of late what we call where the rubber meets the road messages. Tonight is no different. At the end of this message by Kenneth Carpenter, do yourself a favor. Take part as if you were at a church service live. This is one of the most powerful moves of the Holy Ghost we have tried to share with you on this show. It's available for you to connect into right now. We will open up the mics at the end of the show for comments or questions. but please make a connection with God for yourself during this program, no matter where you are. I know without a doubt that God will feed the hungry and make whole all that will respond to this show tonight. Do not hang up when you hear the music at the end of the show. Tonight could be where you get a revelation via a real experience. We are praying that God touches all who listen to this message. Forgive us for our bad edits for the show, but we worked to bring it to you with less space and dead air. And now let's have a listen.
Psalms chapter 55 and verse 1, a psalm of David. Psalm of David. Give ear to my prayer, O God, and hide not thyself from my supplication. Attend unto me and hear me. I mourn in my complaint and make a noise. Because of the voice of the enemy, because of the oppression of the wicked, for they cast iniquity upon me, and in wrath they hate me. My heart is sore pained within me, and the terrors of death are fallen upon me. Fearfulness and trembling are come upon me, and horror hath overwhelmed me. And I said, would you say those three words with me? And I said. You know, reaction determines results. And I said, oh, that I had wings like a dove, for then would I fly away and be at rest. Lo, then would I wander far off and remain in the wilderness, Selah. I would hasten my escape from the windy storm and tempest. I want to minister today, and I do want you to know how strong I feel about this. I want this to be a message this morning. I want this to be a message that through the year of 2022, you'll refer back to this message, and it will be a message of a standard. It would be a message he said this would happen, or I'm not surprised at this. I want it, and the only way that can happen is two things to happen, and that is the Lord to help me, and that is for you to receive it. But on this first Sunday of 2022, I want to minister to you on this subject, escape or endure. Escape or endure. Father, I love you this morning. Thank you, God, for your love and for your kindness. Thank you, Lord, for all that you've done in this congregation. These are your sheep. You bought them with your blood. You placed your name on them, and you filled them with your spirit. They do not belong to me, God. They are your property. I am simply here today, Father, as an under-shepherd, to bring them your word. Oh, Spirit of the living God, move across this place today. Let chains be broken. Let lives be mended. Let eyes be opened. In Jesus' wonderful name we pray. Amen and amen. You may be seated. Escape or endure. Here we are with another year complete and a new year before us. A new year that God alone knows what lies ahead. Only God alone knows what lies ahead. There's one thing certain about life, and you might can help me finish what I'm about to say. There's one thing certain about life is that it is uncertain. That's a certain thing about life is that it is uncertain. 2021 was filled with, you have a congregation of this size, 2021 was filled with unexpected health scares. Sister Calloway, unexpectedly, as I have said, is saying goodbye to two of her sisters. There were things about 2021 that we saw coming, right? And there were things that we didn't see coming. There were people in 2021 that surprised me on a good note. But then there were people in 2021 that disappointed me. But after all, when the shout, the music has died down, welcome to life. Welcome to life. Job said it this way in Job 14, verse number 1. I think this really sums up life. Man that is born of a woman is a few days and full of trouble. Welcome. Welcome to life. As humans in our flesh, it'd be all right to say amen to this, we have a tendency, a desire to escape our current uncomfortable situations of life. We have a way when things are uncomfortable, we want simply to choose the route of escape. We don't like the environment that we're in. We don't like the situation. We don't like the circumstance that we're in. And we tend, when the things are not set just right in our lives, we tend to want to escape. How can I change the scenery? I don't like the chapter of my life. How can I change the situation? How can I escape from this? I don't want to be here. We have a tendency to want to run and get away from the season. We want to speed God up. We want to speed it up. It's much like the archived service, how you can sit down. Now, when it's live, you can't do this. But when it's archived, you can speed it up. You can bypass this and bypass that. And I'm fearful in life that sometimes we get in scenes and chapters we don't like. We try just to speed it up. Let me escape. Let me run and get away from this season. And when we do this, church, we join the ranks of the spiritual escape artists. You know, sometimes we are like Houdini. We are spiritual escape artists. We're trying to find a way. I don't like this season that I'm in right now. I don't like this season. I'm an adolescent and I want to be a teenager. How can I be a teenager now? And I'm a teenager, but I want to be married, and I'm this and I'm that, and then as seasons of life go, you find your life, you find age has come upon you, and guess what happens then? What you once wanted to escape from, you try to go back and get into it because you don't like the season of your life. We join the ranks of the spiritual escape artists like Jonah. Jonah was an escape artist. Jonah had deep-rooted bitterness to the Ninevites. There was something about him. He was prejudiced. He had deep-rooted hatred that seeped on the inside of him. He hated the very name of the Ninevites. He hated everything about them. So when God said, "You go to what you hate," what did Jonah do? Jonah ran. Jonah ran. And can I tell you, when God has something in your life to develop you, you never run to something better. You never run to something better. Something better is not out there. If God has that iceberg, if God has that obstacle, if God has me in a season, and let's just get real today. Seasons doesn't change because you talk in tongues. And seasons doesn't change because you ran an aisle for all of that. Seasons, they don't change because your emotion peaked and you got some kind of an emotional high. There are seasons of your life that you just have to understand, God has me here for a reason. This uncomfortable circumstance and situation, God sees something in me that needs to be developed. God sees something in me. I don't need to escape from this scene in my life. I need to learn how to endure seasons of my life. Jonah decided that he would run, and that he did. And as Jonah ran, or should I say, escaped, and he traded, listen to this. Jonah traded a storm on the inside for a storm on the outside. You see, God knew not only did the Ninevites need to be saved, but Jonah needed to get right with God. Jonah had a prejudice in him. He had a hatred in him for the Ninevites, and God wanted his prophet to understand that God loves all people. God loves whosoever will. Jonah had this hatred. He couldn't stand the name. He couldn't stand even the sound of their name. And therefore, there was a seething hatred on the inside of him. And God said, I know how to fix that. I know how to fix that. You need to go to the very thing you hate. But Jonah didn't. Jonah decided to be an escape artist. Got him a boat. Went to the vacation land of Tarsus. But God said, if that storm won't wake you, then I'll have a storm on the outside. That's why on many times, church, listen to Pastor this morning, many times when you try to escape seasons of your life, you end up worse than what you were if you just stayed overboard. And he thought for a split second that he was going to die and drown. I guarantee you he would have traded dealing with what was on the inside of him. Are you going to endure? And I hope today this message is something that you tie a rope to and come back to it. Because it's not if uncertain seasons come in 2022, it's when they come. It's not if the scene in my life turns ugly, it's when it turns ugly. And I hope to God and the Holy Ghost that when it turns ugly, you remember on the first Sunday morning, January 3rd, you heard a message that said, I'm not going to run from this. I'm going to endure this and watch God do a marvelous work. Would you give the Lord a hand of praise right now? Living for God is not all about unexpected bonuses. Living for God is not always about prosperity in certain materialistic ways. Living for God is not always about clean health reports. But living for God can be summed up in Matthew 10:22. Listen to the words of Jesus that talk about the church of the rapture generation. Jesus says, here's what it's going to look like in Matthew 10:22. And ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake. Stop believing the fairy tale that the Senate and the Congress and the White House is going to have a great revival. Stop believing the fairy tale that one day everybody's going to fall out on Wall Street speaking in tongues. Stop believing the fairy tale that all of a sudden God's going to cover the earth with this unbelievable glory. That is going to happen in the millennial, but it's not going to happen pre-rapture. Here's what it looks like pre-rapture. And ye shall be hated of all men. Why? For my name's sake. That name of Jesus is going to place you in a category that the world doesn't have to know your name. They don't have to know where you're from. They hate you for one singular name, and that is the name of Jesus. But how do we counter the hatred of the world? Not by going and finding some mountain to build us a commune. Not to getting away and shunning the world. But the Bible said, you shall be hated of all men for my name's sake. But he, not that escapeth, but he that endureth to the end shall be saved. Come on, church. There's a season the world's going to get ugly. But you can't quit. You've got to endure to the end. How can we endure? How can we endure? The world will hate us for that name's sake. But how can we endure? Well, 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse number 7. As a matter of fact, if you're familiar with the Bible, you know that 1 Corinthians 13 is called the love chapter. It is that chapter in between telling how to operate the gifts. And Paul talks about having love. And he says in chapter 13, verse 7, that love beareth all things. Love beareth all things. Believeth all things. Hopeth all things. Endureth all things. How can we endure to the end? Is that in the midst of the ugly scene, somebody has got to love God. In the midst of a doctor's report that tells you there's a spot on your liver, somebody has got to love God. In the midst of a layoff slip and a bankruptcy and a foreclosure and someone walking away from you, come on now, you can either try to escape from that or you can stand up and say, if I can love God, I can endure anything. If I can just love God, I can bear up under anything. If I can just love God, love will give me the hope of my tomorrow. If I can just love God. The Bible tells us in the book of James, chapter 1, verse 12. James, one of my most favorite books in the Bible. Very practical, and it's an easy read. I love the book of James. The Bible simply says in James, chapter 1, verse number 12. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation. You ever thought about, instead of feeling sorry for yourself when you're going through a trial, have you ever thought about looking yourself in the mirror of the morning and saying, man, what a blessing is coming my way. Instead of complaining about how hard it is and how difficult it is, of looking up and saying, the sun is going to shine again. I'm going to have the wind at my back. I may have it in my face right now, but I'm going to have the wind in my back because I am not going to escape. I am going to stand right here, and I'm going to endure. A young, popular, apostolic young man who was raised by godly mother and father, revivalist, great people. But this young man silently in his mind began to want to escape the Bible studies. Somehow in his mind, he didn't like the sound of the Bible studies his dad was giving. He could not, as he was in a public school, he seemed not to be able to balance and understand that what he was being taught on Wednesday night and Sunday mornings and Sunday night was a far greater value of what he was hearing at his school. But underneath him was his choice. All of us today have the option, endure, escape. All of you today. You say, Brother Carpenter, I'm not waiting for an ugly situation to be in my life. I'm sitting in your congregation this morning. I'm in the midst of it. I don't know when it's going to end. I don't like the scene of my life. I don't like things about my life. I thought I liked what I was getting into, but after I got into it, I see now that I wish I'd never made this decision and that decision. But can I tell you something this morning? All of us hold within us the decision. Do I run or do I stay? Do I escape and look for a brighter day somewhere else? There isn't a brighter day outside of Jesus. Said there isn't a brighter day outside of Jesus. There isn't a brighter day outside of the church. There isn't a brighter day outside of the Bible. You can hang it up. You'll never find that brighter day. The world will promise you joy and deliver you grief. The world will promise you a lot and deliver very little. This young man decided that he would escape from his conviction. He decided in his mind that dating out of the faith wasn't wrong. He escaped from the Father's principles of the Word. He escaped and began to date out of the faith. It wasn't long after that fornication entered into this young man's life. But once again, he found a place to escape. The fornication was hidden until the day that his girlfriend said to him these words, "I'm pregnant. I'm pregnant." Now there's no escape. Now it's only a matter of time that we have to break the news to my mom and dad. It's only a matter of time that everybody in the youth group's going to know. It's only a matter of time that everyone is going to find out what has happened. What do you do, young man? What do you do, mom and dad? What do you do now? I submit to you, they would not have been the first couple. They would not have been the first mom and dad to have left the ministry because they felt embarrassed. They had to get up and lead a church and tell a church how to raise their family. The old adversary would haunt you, and I hate him. Did I make that plain? I hate him. I hate his voice. I hate his voice today. Because his voice comes along, he is one that will tempt you to get into sin and tell you that nobody will find out, and after you get into sin, he will then turn around and says, "Everybody knows." Oh, I hope this is a message on this third day of January 2022. I hope this is a message that you'll take home in the month of July. You'll say, "Listen, didn't you remember what Pastor taught us on that first Sunday morning?" Wouldn't have been the first mom and dad to have resigned the church. Wouldn't have been the first young man. What are you going to do, family? I'll tell you what they did. They decided, "We'll dig our heels in. And we'll endure this." Can I tell you? It's not easy. But it's worth it. Oh, I wish you'd say it with me. It's not easy. Come on, say it with me. It's not easy. Now shout it, "But it's worth it." Come on. It's not easy. But it's worth it. Can I tell you, enduring is not for wimps. Enduring is not for people that have to have their name called and have to be petted and pampered. It's not for those kind. Enduring is for the man and woman that knows, "If God has got something better in my future, I'm going to endure this." Woo! What do we do? Mom and dad decided, "I'll dig my heels in." Say it again, it's not easy. But shout it. But it's worth it. A mother and dad decided they'll dig their heels in. And a mother told me, she said, "Brother Carpenter, for one solid year, I cried every day of my life. For one solid year." Well, you need to run. Well, you need to get away from people. No. No, 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 no. I'm going to endure this. She said, "Brother Carpenter, I cried every day. One solid. If I have this correct, on this young man's 18th birthday, his mama asked him the question, 'Son, what would you like as a gift?' And his answer came back, 'I would like to be as far away from this place as I can run. I'd like to be as far away from this situation. I'd like to be as far away as a mom and dad, a pastor and his wife that stood their ground. As a young 16-year-old boy that grew up quick and hard. Early morning job before school. a short school day so that he could go back to the factory and work and support a baby. He endured a lot. He overcame a lot. He endured a lot. And I am not there advocating you are to sin that grace may abound. But praise be to God, there is life after a mistake. There is life after a mistake. That young man stood his ground. Better way to put it, he took all the talk. He endured all the sniggers. He endured all the whispers. He endured all the things that ugly people will do to you. He walked back into the youth group. He walked back into the prayer room. Sometimes with a baby on his hip, he came back to the house of God. He lived for God. And today, this is a many-year-old story, but today there is a young man of God, a powerful pastor, pastoring a revival church, all because he decided, I'm not going to escape. I'm going to endure this. And God is going to make a way. I wish somebody would just say, it's not easy, but it's worth it. This will be too close to home. But what about a young 23, 24-year-old pastor that thinks he knows about pastoring, that thinks he's got it all? After all, he's 23 years old, but through a series not of moral mistakes, just a lack of wisdom of how to treat God's people. Through a series of that, that young man sits in a little office that's no bigger than 8x8 and takes a pen and writes a letter that he'll step out and read to that congregation of resignation. He'll write a letter of resignation. He'll tell those handful of people there he's glad to have been their pastor for the last year and a half. But he feels like that he needs to move on. But that young man will call another man of God in his life by the name of Mike Bingham. And he'll say, Brother Bingham, I've got my resignation letter. You're the evangelist coordinator. Put me back in, coach. I'm ready to play. Only for Mike Bingham to say to me, what makes you think you'll be any happier on the evangelistic field than you are right now? And he preached to me about standing the ground and staying where you're at. Can I tell you today, many of us have run from situations that we look back years later and we wonder what would have happened if I had just stayed in the muck and the mire and dug it out. I wonder what God could do. And the evening before I was going to read my resignation letter, he told me, he said, I'll tell you this. He said, get ready for haunting years. He said, you'll live haunting years of wondering just what God could have done had you stayed in Maryville, Tennessee. I'm not pinning a rose on my coat today, but I'm here to say to God, I'm so glad that I endured rather than escaping, because it's much better if you'll just endure some momentary seasons of your life. I'm telling you, in the Holy Ghost, God has got another chapter for you. He is the author and finisher. I don't like where I'm at right now. You don't know the end, friend. He's the author and the finisher of your faith. Come on now. Come on, is somebody ready to endure today? I'm not ready to escape. I'm ready to stay in the choir. I'm ready to stay at my camera. I'm ready to stay at the sound. I'm ready to stay teaching Sunday school. I'm ready to stay at FAC. I know we don't like the situation, but I'm ready to stay. Let me get back to my text. Let me get back to my text for a moment. Why did David write Psalms 55? Complaining and moaning I'm hated. And then he said, I'll tell you what I'll do. I will take the wings of a dove. I will take the wings of a dove. And I will fly away. I will escape. I will escape. That's what I'll do. Psalms 55, verse 6. That's what I'll do. I'll get out of this house. That's what I'll do. I'll get out of this job. That's what I'll do. I'll get out of this. I don't need to be treated this way. I'll get out of here. That's what I'll do. I will. Oh, that I had wings like a dove. Well, then would I fly away? I'd be at rest. Oh, I get some rest from this chapter. I get some rest from this thing. I fly away from here. And I tell you, there's three types of wings mentioned in the Bible. The wings of a dove, which represent escaping. Or the wing of an eagle that talk about fighting. You can either have flight or you can have fight. You can either develop wings of an escape artist. You can navigate yourself around this and say to myself, then will I be at rest. But would you please look at verse 7 where rest represents? Lo, then I would wander far off and remain in the wilderness. The wilderness is, I don't know where I'm at. The wilderness is never developed. The wilderness is never complete, never content. The wilderness is always searching. I don't know about you, but I don't like where that dove takes me. I don't want to be a wanderer. I'm tired of wandering. I'm tired of wandering here and there. I want stability in 2022. I want my life to get on a course that I understand that I overcame that mountain. I'm so glad that I came up this side of the mountain because there was a view that I could not see while I was up here. And if I had turned around, never have seen what God wanted to show me. Oh, I don't want to be a wonder. Be in the wilderness. Where you at? Where you at 40? I don't know. Hey, same person, where you at 45? I don't know. Hey, same person, where you at 50? I don't know. Where you at 60? I don't know. God help any of us today that your goal in life is to draw a Social Security check. God help us all that our goal in life is to reach an age where we do nothing. May your goal be that once I retire from this job, I'll have more time to work for the Lord. I'll have more time for God, reading the Word. Were you at 70? I don't know. I'm just in the will. I'm just wondering. I seek the route of least resistance. That's why sometimes a church change. I've seen people get hurt or so-called get hurt. Some people call rebuke hurt. The first thing that strikes their mind, as if they hold the ace card in a card game, I'll get you back. I'll get you back. I'll go join another church. You know you only hurt yourself. Because you never learn how to stay somewhere and endure. You're just always in to escape. Instead of looking at an obstacle in 2022 and saying, why me? Why don't you look at it and say, I wonder what God's going to do with me through that. Three types of wings. You can either choose the wings of an escape artist, dove. You can choose the wings of an enduring eagle. Or you can choose the wings that are in the presence of God. You ever wondered in the tabernacle, the Holy of Holies, what canopies, the Ark of the Covenant? There's a canopy that is made over the Ark of the Covenant. That canopy is made by cherubim wings. Jesus said to Israel, how many times would I have gathered you as a mother hen doth her chicks under her wing? But you would not. You see, if a mother hen gathers you up under her wings, you're stable. You're there till the storm passes by. You're there till your storm passes by. You're there until you realize you pastor a forgiving church that's willing to forgive you for a few unwise decisions you made. You're there until you realize that there may be a few people that will always remember your sin, but as a whole, there's a youth group that will love their arms around you and love you back into the body of Christ. You're there when you preach your first sermon a few years later and you know there's some folded hands and some judgmental people, but as a whole, there's a loving body of Christ that's so glad that you made it over the hill and so glad that you allowed God to develop you. Oh, could we pray for a moment? Could you explode in prayer right now? Come on, do it. Do it. Enduring or escaping. Enduring or escaping. Oh, I wish somebody would stand to their feet and just pray as loud as you can this morning. Oh, musicians, come. Come on. Come on, let's keep this right now. Let's don't let it die back down. Let's don't let it die back down, because we can escape by not paying attention. We can escape by when we start getting uncomfortable. When it's getting a little uncomfortable, that's right. That's right. That's what you need. You don't need a church where you're comfortable. Whew. My God. Would you give me your undivided attention for just 5 short minutes? Do you know why David wrote Psalms 55? His own son, Absalom, had been disloyal to his own daddy. His own son, Absalom, who was an egotist, maniac of appearance. Any man that makes his once a year haircut a citywide event, oh yes, Absalom, so appearance driven that he made his annual haircut a citywide event. Wow, what an egomaniac. Come watch me get my hair cut. But David loved that boy. You know, it's sad sometimes. We often love what's killing us. I don't know if you got that or not. We absolutely sometimes love what's killing us. Bible says, love not the world. It's killing us. The Bible says, the love of money. It's killing us. David loved that boy. That boy would grow up to overthrow his daddy's kingdom. That boy would grow up to steal the hearts of the men of Israel and lead a rebellion that 20,000 Israelites would die. But in the midst of that, isn't it amazing? We're always trying to save what's killing us. Absalom had run his own daddy out of town. His own daddy. And then stretched a tent on top of the king's house and slept with his daddy's wife. to prove that he was this what I've done cannot be repaired. Don't ever worry about David coming back. But when the battle was sent forth, David had this thing. And David said, be gentle with Absalom. Be gentle. I'm going to tell you something. We got some things that's killing us. We need to kill it this morning. We don't need to pat a cake with it anymore. We don't need to excuse it anymore. We need to flat out bring it to the altar and put it under the wings of his presence today. And we need to flat out kill it today. David, the very thing that's killing, the very thing you love is the very thing that's killing. He wrote Psalms 55 in the midst of being hid out in a cave because his own son was seeking his life. You know, there is no trouble. 2 minutes to go. We could be transparent with each other. There's no trouble like family trouble. David said in the midst of his family trouble, man, if I just had wings of a dove, I could fly away from this mess and I could be at peace. David, thank God you didn't. Because they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as an eagle. They shall run. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Because I am going to endure. I am not going to escape. I am going to endure. I am not going to escape. God, here I stand under the canopy of your wings today.
declare I won't turn back now. Come on, just lift up hands to heaven right now. Sing, wait on the Lord. Won't you wait on the Lord? Wait on the Lord. And He'll renew your strength.
Well, I can't speak for everybody else, but for sure this message hit me at a time in my life where I desperately needed it. It don't matter if you got problems with family, with jobs, with finances, with health, but whatever it is that you're facing, you can try to run from it, or you can allow this to be something that draws you closer to God than you've ever been before. Because in truth, within ourselves, there's not anything that we can do most of the time to change any situation, except what I have found out, that when I do change a situation on my own, I have a tendency to make it worse than what it ever was before. So whatever it is, whatever issues you got going on in your life that you think I'm all alone, nobody cares, nobody understands, I got this issue with a family member, I've got, you know, maybe there's something with a niece or a nephew or a grandchild or something where you see something where God needs to intervene. You know, maybe it's like my situation where I'm needing to get back to work after being in an accident, and, you know, I've got bills that are due, and, you know, I don't understand, you know, why this happened to me at this time of my life, but it happened. But whatever it is that you have, take the words that you just heard and take a moment, and I got another song I'm going to play here. Now, this song plays, and it's just going to be just for a little bit, and then we're going to open up the microphones. But during that time, you reach out to God. You tell God all the things that you realize that, yeah, I've messed up, but I'm making a stand now. Yeah, I may have ran before. I may have done things that wasn't pleasing to you, God, but I'm making a stand right now, and I need you. I need you to wake a way where there is no way. I need you to put peace in the storm that's going on around me, because in truth, He is the only one that can. And in being submissive to putting His will above your will and trusting in Him and not yourself, something changes within us. So this song's going to play, and I pray that you just take a moment, and whatever this sermon touched you, that you just take a moment here and just reach out to God with it.
I don't believe in fairy tales. I guess I've outgrown them. That doesn't mean that I don't believe that there's something bigger than me. I've seen it in a hospital room when the doctor said sorry. There's nothing more we can do. Well, it wasn't true. I've never seen a pot of hope at the end of a rainbow. But I have a promise I can hold in the middle of a struggle. God, if you said it, you'll perform. I want you to, but here's what I'll do. I'm gonna wait on you. I'm gonna
Blog Talk Mom.
Well, thank you so much, Wabil. I really appreciate tonight and the words that you said when you first, after the service was over there, and it just seemed like it really was the, as usual, the icing on the cake. But, you know, if I'm going to wait on the Lord, I was a waitress for years and years and years, and the waitress does the waiting. And there's two kinds of waiting, I guess. It just popped in my mind that I'm waiting. I want to love Him and worship Him, and like what you've done with this program, and not back up or drop it or find an excuse not to do it or whatever. We're going to keep on, you know, by the grace of God and by His power and strength, and that's how we bring glory to Him. And this was really what I needed also. You were really led of the Lord, because waiting, in a just sense of waiting, is probably the hardest thing that there is. I remember one time, I don't remember all the details about it, but you can stand in front of a microwave, and, you know, it seems like forever for 2 minutes to pass. Or, you know, if you're, there's different ways that trigger the kind of feelings that you have that seem like take forever. Like when you're wanting to time to last, you've got somebody visiting and you don't want them to leave. And, you know, and all of a sudden, wham, bam, it's over. They got to go. It's just very unusual. So when we're going through a struggle and a real trial, time and waiting has a different, an entirely different perspective. And this is very interesting, very timely too, for any and everybody that would be listening, and for every direction we would look at it. So thank you forever. I want to hear some more of what you've got to say about it too. So I will be quiet. Go right ahead.
Well, I'm not used to you being so quiet. It's just this is one of those things, you know, I keep calling these things where the rubber meets the road kind of messages, because it's one thing to talk about the Word of God and recite the Word of God, and it's something totally different to live the Word of God. And the way he brought this out on to endure or escape, you know, we hear the words fight or flight all the time. And, you know, we don't have a tendency to want to go through things. And so we have this thing, all of a sudden we're going to either fight our way out of it, or we're going to make a run for it. But here, when you talk about, and there's so many scriptures, he just touched a small amount of them about this, he that endures to the end, that's who's going to make it. Not the one that was the fastest runner, not the one that was the best looking, not the one that had the most music skills, not the one that was the best speaker that could come up with $50 to $100 words that I can't even spell. It's someone that's going to be steadfast, consistent, and endure to the end. Someone that God can depend on, that he knows that when the devil pushes your buttons, that you're still going to be there enduring. When the storm comes your way, he knows that he can depend on you because you're going to endure. We always talk about the things where God's faithful and God will never leave us and he'll never forsake us, but we don't ever want to put ourselves in the other part of that relationship with the Almighty God. What can he depend on us for? That when troubles come our way, we're going to take off like, whoa, it's me. Oh, man, despair, agony on me, whoa. You know, it just, or are we going to get up there and yeah, we're going to get knocked down. You may have some tears and you may cry. And then all of a sudden you're going like, but wait a minute. This could not even come in my path unless God directed it to be there. And he thought enough of me, that he had enough confidence in me, that he allowed this to be there, because we talked about before where the winds can be used for purification and separation from things, and the heat that can use it to purify metals and things. And those things, you know, we have practical illustrations of the things that are there. And I don't want to be like the dove. You know, you think, oh, the dove is love and the dove is peace. And, man, how many religious do we hear talk about the love of God and the peace of God? And they don't really believe anything else other than that. They don't believe that there's any accountability on their part. They don't believe that the other parts of the Word of God applies to them. It's just something that applied to those people back in the New Testament church back then. And we don't rightly divide the Word of truth. And we try to pick and prod and take the scriptures I like and throw out the scriptures that I don't like. God's looking for someone to be consistent. Lord, I don't like this scripture, but I'm going to endure. Lord, I don't like this here on the Beatitudes where it says that, you know, those that suffer for your name's sake, that those are blessed. We don't like that one. You know, we like it to where, you know, these preachers are talking about health, wealth, and prosperity. And I believe to a certain sense that we can depend on that thing, but if we are really going to live for God, there's going to have to be some tests that come our way. Do you know that a ship in the ocean, no matter how big it is and how powerful the motors are of it, if it didn't have the resistance of the water, it couldn't float and it couldn't turn. An airplane, as big and mighty as the engines are, and we got some of the mightiest military aircraft that you could ever hope to see, but without the friction and the resistance of the air, it couldn't fly, it couldn't turn, it couldn't even be maneuvered and do all the things that we know that it can do. So why do we think that we're going to get out there on our little piece of the pond and think we're not going to have some resistance come our way to help lift us up above where we are right now? To take us, how can you go from faith to faith if you're stuck on that same faith you had at day one? How can you go from victory to victory if you just stay on that first victory that you ever had? It doesn't sound to me like there's much victory to victory going on. Oh, I'm staying in the victory. Yeah, I wished I could. Believe me, this situation right here, I'd give anything that if I wasn't going through it. And I have days, I'm not going to lie, where I'm down and I feel discouraged. And I'm like, you know, Lord, what have I done? And Lord, where are you? And, you know, how could you let this happen? I'm doing everything I can to be faithful. And I'm trying to be the person that would be pleasing to you. And I try to be a witness to you. And I try to reach out to others. And, man, you can make a list really quick when you get to patting yourself on the back. I mean, I do this and I do that. And you say, oh, no, you can't do it. Yeah, I read my Bible. I pay my tithes. I give in offerings. You know, I'm good to the widow lady down the street. You know, just it's amazing all the things we can come up with, but then just totally stay away from the things that is obedience to God. It's he that endures to the end. It's another one of those things that's a whole lot easier to say than to go through. But if you really have faith and trust in God, I have days where I'm down, but I have other days where I know God's got this. I know it's going to work out for my good according to his purpose. And I can put a smile on my face, and I can tell people, hey, how you doing? I'm doing pretty good. Everybody's making fun of me right now, how you doing? I got my hand in the cast with my thumb stuck out, and they're like, hey, thumbs up, you're doing good. And I don't really feel like thumbs up sometimes. I'm like, you know, I feel like I could go the other way, thumbs down. You know, things are not so hot. But it's one thing to say you trust God. It's another thing to trust God. It's another thing to call him Lord. It's another thing totally different to let him be Lord. So many times in my life, I find myself having to say, Lord, how did I end up sitting on the throne of my life and then complaining to you because things are so wrong? How many times am I committed idolatry because I put myself on the throne, my wishes, my will, my ways of thinking the way everything should be, the things that I think how you should move, the things that I think how this should happen, the answer that I think that doesn't come because it's not the answer that I'm looking for, when really the answer may have came and I missed it because it wasn't the answer I was looking for. How many things have you heard of people missing in a relationship between a husband and wife because they're just not on the same page? The husband does something because of his love language in a way that he feels like he has shown the greatest love that he could show to his spouse. But she has a different love language, and she doesn't see it that way, and vice versa. It is so easy to read at the Bible and to understand some things about the principles of God, but then to get away from the Word of God. It's not the principles of God that's going to help us endure to the end. It's the actual word of God that we apply to our life that's going to help us endure to the end. For his promises are yea and amen, or yes and so be it. So if God's made you a promise through his word, it's yes and so be it. Because when God speaks, it happens. Let there be light. Poof, there's light. He can take nothing and create a whole world with people and animals and trees and all the things that you can't even see of germs and viruses and insects and things that's just so small that you have to have a microscope to see it. And yet he can put things out in space that he placed. And we have to have a telescope to look and actually see what it is that he created and placed out there. But it was just, I heard a preacher say one time, it's probably like just God just did a little like behind the back, you know, just put that star there and this star there, did this and did that. It was, he's God. But yet we can't just take him for granted. He's never promised he was going to be our sugar daddy. And I think sometimes that's what we want. We want to treat God like an ATM machine. Lord, I need blessed with this, 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 and this today. And then I get to thinking like, well, when's the last time I went to his church or a church building where there was a service and gave an actual sacrifice of praise? Not just when everybody says, clap your hands. Give God a hand clap of praise. Everybody just does it. It seems like there's a little timer that goes off of people, and they do it all about the same time they quit. What sacrifice was there to do that with everybody else? We say things, we read things, and we make excuses for things, and we have gotten so far away to where I wonder sometimes where the scripture talks about having a form of godliness but denying the power therein. Because the power is Jesus. We talk all the time about, you know, man, it talks about that the strong take it by force. Well, that sounds all well and good, but do you think you're the strong? Because when you look at it, the Bible lets us know that when I'm weak, that's when he's strong. He shows forth when I'm weak, I have strength because it's him, not me, that overcomes. It's him that defeats my enemy. I endure. He fights my battles for me. But we get to thinking, oh, man, I'm fighting this battle, man. I'm really going up here. I'm tearing the devil up. No, stop and think about it a minute. The power that we have against Satan, we can resist him and rebuke him, and he has to flee. But we do this not in our own name. And we don't do this because of something that we earned or something that who we are. We do this just because of who he is and what he's done. And he allowed us to do everything in word and deed in his name. And it's his power that makes us more than an overcomer, not our power. Locked out, Mom. Anybody else, if you got anything you'd like to add to the show tonight, I see there's several people on. You can just push one on your phone and identify you by the last four digits of your phone number. Locked out, Mom, do you have anything else?
Yes, I agree with everything you're saying, and it's very important. And especially seemingly in the what's happening in our world and our country and our church and our lives right now, to get a good grip on this, because, you know, there is a trial of our faith. And it's not that the thought that came to me while you were speaking is like the little sheep. In the shepherd looks at the 23rd Psalm, he talks about the sheep. He says, why art thou cast down, when a little sheep gets cast, he gets out and he gets so he can't get up, and his little feet sticking straight up in the air, and he'll die, or he's very vulnerable to some other enemy source. But the shepherd takes him, and he has to take him and shear off all of that wool that's gotten contaminated and full of burrs and different things, and he gets all that off of him, dips him down into this particular stuff that kills the bugs, and puts the oil all around his little nose so that they can't bugs can't get in his nose. So a lot of it's for our good. It's not for anything but for our good. God does this and allows these things so that we come to him and renew our strength in him. Because only he can do it. He wants to do it. He planned to do it. He promised to do it. Now we're proof that he does it. And it's very, very beautiful. And that enduring thing, that word right there, it doesn't paint a picture of like skipping and hopping. It's enduring to the end. And but God gives us gladness, and it's just beautiful. And I love this. I hope somebody else has something to say. And thank you again.
Well, they're all being real bashful right now. I thought that I was probably the king of transparency, But this pastor sitting up there in front of this huge, powerful church, the power of God in that place and the anointing is there is just something you just have to be. Actually, I think you can feel it through the radio show. Although the devil didn't want me to play this, I had to listen to it and re-record it four different times. There was some things where it was doing a stop gap in between words. I don't know what that was. And, you know, but I believe with all my heart that the same work that it did to the people that were there at that service, it will continue to do that work for those of us that listened and those that we share this with. Because it's not our word, it's God's word. But it's just so important to just understand that he loves us. You know, I don't want to make a slight thing out of the thing where these people, you know, talk about religions where all they talk about is the love of God. He does love us. He loved us so much. He paid the price for our salvation. But he is such an honorable God. He can't deny himself for who he said he is and what he's going to do, even to the point of being a good judge. And if we have not done the things that he wants us to do in completeness, to be complete in him, he's going to judge us for the things that we have not done. That's not something I made up. That's not a fiction thing. That's Bible scripture. At the great white throne of judgment, everyone's going to be there, great and small, and everything that's not under the blood of God, which if you're standing in front of that throne to be judged, it means that you haven't placed everything as it should be. And I go back several times to Matthew 25, where it talked about those that were hungry, that you didn't give them to eat, and those that needed clothes, and you didn't give them clothes, and the difference is those that were in prison, and you didn't come visit them, and those that were sick, and all the things that are missing there that we didn't do. And he makes it clear at the end of that, that those that did these things, they have a place with him. And those that didn't, they don't. And so when people get to saying that there is no accountability, you're talking about works versus faith. No, I'm talking about faith and having works that go to those things of faith. But you read Matthew 25, and you can't change the wording of that to make it say anything different than what it is. It is just so clear because he made it, though, if you did those things to those people, it was the same as doing it unto him. That is how much love he has. He don't want anyone to perish. And when we step up and step in the gap for those that are hungry and hurting and incomplete and addicted and all the things that Satan has at his disposal in his arsenal to throw at people. And many people, like the things in my life, I put myself in the trap. I stuck my head in the trap like, oh, look at me. Ain't I cool? Not realizing what that trap was, not realizing the other side when the other foot came and fell along with it, the things that were there. And here this pastor talks about making early mistakes in being a pastor, and he's fixing to write his resignation letter, and he's talking to an elder in the church about his resignation going back into evangelism. And there he followed and obeyed a word from someone with more experience. Someone had been up and down these roads and hills and valleys a few more times than he had, and he listened to what was said. And even though it wasn't the voice of God, the voice of experience is the closest thing that man can give you to the things of what we know of God. I can't explain sometimes in my life how God made a way where it seemed like there was no way, but he did. I can tell you that I deserve nothing from God but probably him stepping on me and squishing me like a bug. When it came to the things of God, I ran from them just as hard and just as fast as I could. I thought that I could take the things that I had heard from different sources and I could come up with my own way that didn't require quite so much of my life. I thought I could do it in a way to where it would be more pleasing to people. I thought I could do it in a way that would be more comfortable for people. But really, I was looking for something that's going to be more comfortable for me. Because, like many young people, it was like out of sight, out of mind. If I wasn't around God's people and I wasn't around church services and I wasn't around the things that happened, I didn't really think about God. But when I got in trouble, I knew that I could call Mom and she'd reach out to God. And I've seen it in my life that many people, when they get in trouble, they might not believe what a cousin or an aunt or a sister or somebody says. But when they need prayer, they call that person because they know there's something deeper in their walk with God than just what they've had in other religious experiences that they've had. And I pray with all of my heart that the words that this preacher was, he was sharing here to show forth the things of God about enduring, that something about that just triggers in your mind to think, is God being mean to me? Or does he love me? The Bible says he loves me. So if he loves me, then he's doing this not to be mean to me. He's doing this to help me. I used to hate, Mom used to have some of the nastiest tasting cough medicines that I have ever had in my mouth in my life. And as a kid, I had this real neat little thing. I had this giant toy box in my room, which probably wasn't near as big as I was thinking it was. And I would let Mom put that stuff in my mouth because she was going to put it in there one way or the other. So I learned I wasn't going to win that battle. But then I would run back in my room, and I would spit that out in my toy box. That thing probably smelt to high heaven before it was all over. I bet that thing stunk. But, you know, how many times has God given us something like a medicine? And we've taken, instead of letting it do a work inside of us, we've taken it and spit it out. Or we complained about it. We murmured and complained. Maybe we made it an evil report. And I don't want to keep, I mean, I was hoping somebody else would say something here. Like I said, I'm looking to see no hands coming up. But I can tell you this, I'm thankful. And I was sharing this with someone. We was at a funeral home tonight, Brother Smith's church. His sister's husband passed away, and we were over there with them. He had COVID and turned into COVID pneumonia and passed away. And he was a man of great humor, great intellect. And he loved God, and he was one of those people that reminded me a lot of myself. He was very full of himself. First time I met him, he was telling me, he says, you don't know what a privilege it is that you're getting to meet me right now. I was thinking about that while I was there at his funeral, you know, just what kind of a man he was. But he's gone. And now we don't know why this had to be his time. And this is Brother Smithson's older sister. And when he was just a small child, they were together. They dated since second grade and then got married later in life. And so this man has been a part of their whole family's life for years, and now he's gone. And as much as some things we think we got a grasp on, and you hear people as preachers all the time, they talk about it was graduation day for so-and-so, they passed away today, and they went on to get their reward and things. For those that are still here, it's hard to look at it that way. When I'm going through the trial, when I'm going through the flood, I'm going through the fire, I don't really think about the church triumphant. And I get to going through all these rabbit trails in my mind, and my good, sweet, dear, faithful wife, I look to her, and with a smile on her face, she says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and all his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. It's not that God don't want us to have things, and it's not that he don't want to bless us. But when we're fighting and trying to run and escape the things of God instead of enduring these things and waiting for that to pass, for a new day to come, and letting it do the work in our life, we are cheating ourselves. We're not cheating God, and we're not cheating anybody else. So that's all I have, everybody. Blog Talk Mom, do you have anything else before we go off the air?
Well, I do want to say that what you were saying, we have to become aware of what actually is truth about a situation. Because when you're sick or when you're hurting or different things, you've lost someone, you know, like this situation, it's real. The pain, the grief, the memories, whatever. And today the Lord brought the scripture, and I shared it with almost everybody. It's in Jeremiah 29:11, and because you just almost feel condemnation, like you must have done something wrong, or, you know, what, it's all mixed up. But the Lord gave me this scripture for myself. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. And this was so sweet to me, because it was like, surely I've done something out of, you know, there's just, what's the deal here? But then I realized this is life. And as I shared it with other people, and then they text me back, they're going through the same thing. And get news that that are just breaking their heart, but that's not God. That's the enduring unto the end, and God is our shepherd, and he will not ever leave us or forsake us. And thank you, Wild Bill. I appreciate this. I love you and Sister Charlotte very much for the program, and look forward to next week.
Well, thank you, Blog Talk Mom, and thank you to all the people that are listening live tonight and for those that listen to the archives. I just pray that you take a moment, like we were suggesting towards the end of this show, and everyone has different music that touches them. You know, it's not the same with everybody. And this, if there's a song that really just speaks to where you feel you are with your relationship with God or the love he has for you or just whatever it is, you can play that in the background and just take a time to just give that time to him. And God don't mind us telling him that we don't know. Lord, I don't even know what to pray. Father, I can't even figure out where to start with this situation I'm in right now. I don't know how I got here. I don't think I was doing anything wrong, and the devil's trying to make me feel really sorry for myself, and people are pointing their fingers at me, and kind of reminds me of that guy in the Bible who lost everything but his wife, and they were sitting there saying, why don't you just go, and his wife said, why don't you go ahead and curse God and die, and these things that are happening, why don't you repent and go ahead and turn everything back to God, and he's going to make everything okay. And you go through all these storms and all these things, just like the preacher was saying here, there's going to be those people that's going to have their hands crossed, and they're going to look at you in judgment. But see, does it really matter? Does it really matter? Because the one that you want to do good pleasure with is your Heavenly Father. I can remember my dad wasn't one of those people who showed a lot of affection towards me in a lot of ways when I was growing up. But when I did something well, when it came to working, and he would tell me he was proud of me, I felt like I was 20 feet tall. I felt like I could run through a troop and leap over a wall. I felt like I had finally arrived. The person I looked up to that was one of the hardest people there was to please, and the person I wanted to please the most, and because of all the anxiety and angst, I messed up more than doing it right. And it almost seemed like I would do it on purpose because of all the stress and pressure I'd put on myself. And I think sometimes it's the same thing with God. We're putting stress and pressure on ourselves. He's saying, just give it to me. Lay it down at the altar. Yeah, I'll trade you beauty for ashes. I take all these dirty things in your life, and I'll give you clean. Take off that old tattered robe, and I'll give you a new robe. It's yours. It's a personal relationship between you and God. And if you just take time to reach out to him and be honest, Lord, you know, I can't even feel you right now. I feel like my prayers are going up about 2 inches off the floor, and they're coming right back down, and I'm stepping on them. You know, I feel like things are so low that I could sit on a napkin and hang my feet off of them. Be honest with God. Tell him what you're feeling. Lean on him and trust not in your own understanding. There again, these are easy words to read and to say. But when you really start leaning on him, and let me tell you something, it's a process. The first time when you're playing sports or something, they got you lifting weights or trying to hit a ball or kick a ball or whatever it is, you're going to miss a lot. But in practice, and we don't talk about this a lot, but when you start practicing your life on the things of God, like, whoops, I messed up. Okay, let's do it right this time. Okay, Lord, forgive me. Place within me a clean heart and a right mind. Forgive me, Lord. I'm going to, you know, help me to overcome. When we start looking at things that way, it's not going to be every day is going to be a home run and every day is going to be the best of what you can be. It's a process. And in that process, he's going to make you better than what you were when you started. He's not going to leave you where he found you. He's going to take you up to higher places closer to him. So I want to thank everybody for calling in. Pray the Lord blesses each and every one of you. We'll be back here next Tuesday night at your place. Y'all have a good night. God bless.